Micah chapter 3 and verse 8. We're looking at the Holy Spirit giving the anointing for preaching boldness, as with Micah in Micah chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, "But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for this evening, thankful for your word, and as we continue to look at this anointing that the Holy Spirit gives us and allows us to do the things that you've called us to do only because of his strength and your strength, not our strength, but what you allow us to be able to do for you, and we just thank you for that. We thank you that it's not in our own strength because we would fall on our face, but Father, we thank you for what you allow us to do because of you. And we thank you for this night, looking forward to all that you have for us, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have the anointing for preaching boldness. Where else can you get the boldness to preach the Word of God except for God give it to us? Well, it's one of the things that I think I've mentioned before, that every week before I get up to preach, that's what I pray. God, give me boldness. Give me boldness. Because we need that. We need to be bold. We need to take a stand. And Micah was bold. I mean, he was ready to tell them what their transgressions were, to tell them what their sins were. And, you know, it's sometimes when God gives you a message to preach, and you know that there are people that are not going to like it. But you got to preach it anyway. And you got to preach it with boldness. And, you know, as I say, they'll either get over it or they won't. They'll either get right with God or they won't. I mean, you can't fret over it. You got to just do it with boldness. And the Holy Spirit gives us the anointing for that. And then the anointing to prophesy, as with Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, turn over to Ezekiel, chapter 2 and verse 2. Ezekiel 2 and verse 2, it says, "And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me." And so, again, the anointing to prophesy. So God gives us what we need. Well, that's one of the other things. I ask God to give me the very words I need to preach. I don't want them to be from me. I want them to be from him. The very words that we need. And I ask God to give us the messages that we, as a people here, need to hear. Not just those sitting out there, but we collectively need to hear. And some people say, well, you know, the preacher is the one delivering it. The preacher, God speaks to us as we prepare the messages and as we preach the messages. So it's, you know, I get it twice. Actually, I get it more than that because I go over my notes over and over and over before I come and preach. But God just can use those. And so we need that. We need to be able to speak with boldness. We need to be able to prophesy. We need to be able to do these things as God leads us. And then the anointing for understanding and applying the word and wisdom of God in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 9. Says, "O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof." God gives us understanding on how to apply the word of God, and wisdom. If you lack wisdom, ask God. He's ready to just pour it out upon you. So just ask him, and he's willing to give it. But we need that. We need wisdom on how to apply the Word of God. There's some people, I tell you, that they can read the Word of God and read the Word of God and read the Word of God. They can tell you everything that's in it, but apply it to their life, and they have no clue. It's like it's any other novel out there, right? Yeah, I can read it, but I can't apply what I've just read to everyday life. I can't figure out how this can affect this. I got news for you. If you can't figure out how this can affect this, there's a problem. This should be affecting our lives. This should be directing our path. And if it's not, then we got a huge problem. We got bigger problems than we know of, apparently. And then chapter 5 and verse 11, as we're looking at this same thing, understanding and applying, it says, "There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers." Of course, that was Daniel, Belteshazzar. And then Daniel 6:3 also. Daniel 6:3 says, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." Okay, who gave Daniel that? Came from God, the Holy Spirit, right? So he got that. So the Holy Spirit also came upon the nation of Israel corporately in the Old Testament. He anointed Israel in the wilderness for teaching the law, providing, protecting, leading, and delivering. So he came upon the whole thing. I've mentioned many times from this very pulpit that God comes upon nations, he comes upon individuals, he judges individuals, he judges nations. All of these things happen. So, you know, these people that are out there and they keep telling me, you need to lighten up and you need not to worry about what everybody else is doing, just concern yourself with yourself. No, what they are doing is affecting us, because God will judge the nation as a whole. And I tell you, the lunacy that we're seeing going on these days, I think we're in for a big spanking, and it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt big time. And, you know, what Brother Rosenkrantz said, yeah, the United States of America is no longer a superpower. A laughing stock of the world, maybe, but not a superpower anymore. It's like we've cowered down and decided we're, you know, when we got a president that says, you know, well, we just, you know, hope that they'll turn over all of our equipment and all of our weapons and all on the tarmac. And then you woke up. You know, it's not going to happen. So look at what's going on. What they are doing is affecting us. Somebody needs to start standing up against this stuff and saying enough is enough. In Nehemiah, for sake of time, we're not going to turn to all these, or we're not going to get very far here. Nehemiah 9:20, "Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst." Gave them good spirit to instruct them. We have the Holy Spirit to instruct us. Thank God for that. Isaiah 63:10, "But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit, therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them." This is a problem. Rebellion is a problem. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said, all of these things are signs of rebellion. And a good friend of mine that I worked with in one of the offices I was at, his son came home and just pitched a fit to his dad and said, "I want to get my ear pierced." And his dad said, "I'm going to tell you right now, you come through that door with an earring in your ear, I will remove it. Oh, and let me tell you first, I won't take the back off first. I'll rip it right out of your ear." And he didn't get an ear piercing. And he went to apply for a job. And he sat across this place, and three guys, they were all in the waiting room, and three guys went in there with earrings in their ear. He's the only one that went to an interview with no earring in his ear that day. He got the job. When he asked the employer the question, he said, a pierced ear in a male is a sign of rebellion. Why would I want them working for me? If they will rebel out there, they will rebel in here. He went home and thanked his dad for not letting him get a pierced earring. It's a sign of rebellion. It turns off some employers. We have to be careful of that. But rebellion is not good. They rebelled and vexed the Holy Spirit, and therefore, what happened? He became their enemy, fought against them. We don't want to be a rebellious people. Then the Holy Spirit also came upon the house of God in the Old Testament. He anointed the tabernacle of Israel in an anointing of supernatural presence. In Exodus 40, verse 34, says, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Yes, the Shekinah glory of God. He anointed the temple of Israel in supernatural prayer-answering power. Aren't you glad we have a prayer-answering God? Over and over and over, we've seen him answer prayer. Not always the answer we want, right? But he still answers. You know, we were talking with Brother Paul and Miss Minnie and said, God always answers prayer. Sometimes, as I mentioned last week, sometimes it's wait, right? Sometimes it's no. The two answers we never like, wait and no. Yes, we love, but he always answers prayer. 1 Kings 8:10, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. Supernatural, supernatural. And then it looks like we're over time, so we're going to have to stop there. Which is good, because we'll start on that new part there.